Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
Bet Online is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All of the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or on your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and an editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
It's a new month. It's May, which is actually Mental Health Awareness Month. You know, which is very, very important to me, you know, with my former high school quarterback, Tyler Helinski, and what happened at that situation. So how you doing mentally, man?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. You know, I've been a little under the weather. So like physically, I've been a little down bad, but mentally I'm in a good spot. And actually my heart is kind of full right now, actually, because I went back and visited Cerritos College. I went to Riverside City College as well, but I had previously went to Cerritos College as well and got to speak to the journalism program where I got my career started, saw some familiar faces, saw some new faces, got to talk to the youth and inspire the youth. So I'm in a good spot, and I'm pretty happy right now. And I know you were kind of around your stomping grounds here the last couple weeks, including this past weekend out at the Rose Bowl. So what was that like for you?
I mean, it was so fun. Honestly, the best time was just catching up with, you know, old teammates and, you know, the boys and the coaches. It's just like everything that's going on with the program right now is just good. Like the energy is really great. I mean, I feel like everybody I've talked to, perspectives from media perspective, from the fans, from the players, alumni, everybody seems to be on board and just enjoying what's going on. And I think the showcase was another example of that. I mean, off the rip, just going through the gates and seeing all the fans and all the little stuff that they had there for the fans, and the fans coming up and saying hi and, you know, off the jump and just showing love already. And then when we got down to the field, just seeing like some of my teammates that I haven't seen in a few years, you know, seeing a few of my teammates that I'm teammates with now, there, you know, Stephen Flintoff and Marcus Moore. Mm-hmm. And then there was so many generations of Bruins. Like some guys, I don't know, a lot of, Bruin brotherhood going on. I'm on the sidelines, and, the players were bringing the energy too. I mean, I started out in that corner, so when they were doing one-on-ones, and I want to say Titus caught a deep ball.
Titus was the standout.
Titus was the
I don't know offense, what ball he didn't catch. He caught everything.
He was the man. And I talked to him after. It's in the number, bro. It's in the deuce. But yeah, bringing the energy, Ale Cajo out there flying around. Mm-hmm. Ethan Garbers looked good. The D-line looked good. So I'm just excited about the program. And I liked what I saw. One thing that was random to me that I didn't understand was that the Pac-12 covered the spring game.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think part of that is, one, I don't think, you know, UCLA or anyone's going to say no to having your showcase or your event streamed live anywhere, right? So I can see it from the UCLA standpoint. But I also think because they're still technically under the Pac-12 umbrella until, like, I don't know. I have the date in my phone and we're, like, still a couple months away from it. So it's, like, it's still not officially Big Ten yet. So the Pac-12 network is probably just riding onto that as much as they can. So yeah, a little weird.
The new age.
It's almost the new age. I mean, we're already technically in the new age when you just consider you're there in the Rose Bowl and whatnot. Was that the first? Oh, no, you've been in the Rose Bowl a few times, right? You went to like the USC game or something recently.
No,
like, in the last year or two. What game did you go to?
No, I went to the LSU game. That's the only game I went to as an alum.
Okay, so it still has been a little while then.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But yeah, I was glad I was able to catch it before I left. And yeah, I think the energy was really good, and the boys came out and performed and kind of put on a show a little bit on both sides, defense and offense. You know, it's good that it was a little back and forth and it wasn't all one sided, which can happen, you know, with spring practices,
yeah.
Which, you know what I'm saying? Or defense has a good day, like offense has a really good day, and then kind of makes the other side not look bad, but it's just they might have put an install in that counters the last install, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To give the fans you know, seeing a little bit of everything, I think was good. And yeah, for them to go into that and knowing that they still had practice on Tuesday.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It was just kind of like,
because normally would that normally have been like the last? Because I kind of thought it was a little weird. So, like, they had two practices left on the schedule, but they actually converted the last one into just a movie day. So, the guys were at the movie theater on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So, it was kind of cool. Good team bonding thing. That meant I got to sleep in, so I didn't have to go down there, which was great. But we were there on Tuesday. But is that a little weird? Like, it's like the spring showcase wasn't like the finale in a way? Like,
usually spring showcase is the finale, and it's like... It's like a party after, because you're right. Like, we made it through this. So, yeah, still knowing that you had practice on Tuesday can be kind of rough. But, I mean, I guess it was, like, the way the schedule worked out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a – I don't know conflict if there was a conflict or whatever, maybe. Or, like, how they wanted to do it exactly with having that one practice kind of before spring break and then coming back and having them. And then, yeah, so then you only have, what, 15, right? So then – Yeah, it wouldn't have worked out with having the showcase last, because you wouldn't have a full week, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but I mean, it worked out. And yeah, like Coach Foster said, I saw he talked about, like, for the coaches to be able to hit the road, and recruit in this next phase, I think is really important.
Yeah, the coaches are out on the road. I'll get a list of that in a minute. I'm glad you brought that up. But real quick, you know, it may have only taken me now 5 years, but I now finally have an understanding of what the Bruin Walk is, because they brought that back.
But you never saw it, so you didn't know.
I didn't know. I didn't get it. I'm just like, what is it? I was thinking it was something on campus or something. I'm like, I don't. What is going on? No,
Bruin Walk was lit, and they're bringing it. I'm glad they're bringing it back, because it encourages the fans to get there earlier.
Yeah, that's true. That's good.
Because it's that route is from that far street. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
From the outside, so it's not far, but I'm saying, like, it's a full walkthrough of, you know, everything going on. So it encourages fans to tailgate and get out there early, so then they can meet us and bring the energy. I know from my perspective as a player, like I loved that walk. It felt good. Like you felt the love and the energy from the fans as you're going, mm-hmm. you know, seeing, you know, always seeing like my family and my friends in the crowd. And like you're getting ready for war. And then from the fans' perspective, I feel like it'd be awesome. Yeah. Seeing all the guys, you know, coming in, and you get some kind of close interaction face to face, and you know, high fives and that type of energy. And I don't know if the walk is completely the same, but I think you walk through a few of the zones. You walk through like at the time used to be an alumni tent, alumni band. Used to be like different sets of. I mean, they'll probably be like fuller for the season, but like different zones, and you have alumni sections and fan sections and alumni cheerleaders and the regular cheerleaders and the band and the alumni band. Because
like those for two the real lines, one, it's like very. There's, you're saying it's very organized. Those two lines that they have.
It's a whole walk, and there's stuff on. Yeah. There's people on the sides, and like right. Yeah, like there's not a part of the broom walk where there wasn't people.
Yeah.
So even
at the spring game, it was a line. It was a solid crowd. It looked great, and I was like, wow, this is for the spring game. Like it was impressive. It was nice, and yeah, it was kind of like what Deshaun Foster had said after that. You know, the fans get to interact. They get to see the players. The players get to see them. They get to see who's there to support them. They get to see their families. And we even talked to the players about that after. We talked to Ethan Garbers, and he said, you know, it's kind of important and kind of cool to have that moment and to be able to see your friends, to see your family, and have them be there to support you as you kind of, as you mentioned, kind of go out there to battle. And, you know, you're kind of walking into that stadium knowing you're preparing for battle and whatnot. So it was a good little touch. I liked it. I thought it was great that they brought that back. It kind of helped set the pace for what the day was going to be, right? Did you get a chance to look at the sweatsuit they kind of had going on there, the all white
fire
with the what is it, the, I forgot what they call it, the throwback Joe, I guess, with the bear in the middle? What did you think about that?
With the kicks too? No, it was fire, and some of the alumni were definitely jealous because if you saw what we was wearing about. four years ago?
Yeah, at least 4 years ago. No, more than that. 6 years ago.
What? Well, we were wearing it, but what we were wearing in 2019 compared to that, yeah, it just said like we look like. I'm trying to think what we look like. We look like, I would say like some type of worker. I don't know. Some type of.
But at the time, you didn't think you looked fly or nothing. Like y'all didn't think.
No, we did. We knew we didn't. Oh, y'all did. Okay. That was the thing. Okay. We knew we did it. But we had to wear it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I appreciated. That's when I appreciated not having a brew walk. Because we walking to the stadium with those sad grout fits. The gray on gray with like three different grays was crazy.
Yeah. I think I did.
Under Armour's had us so messed up. Like.
Oh, that's right. It was Under Armour.
So messed up. Like, and I don't know who approved it. I don't know who okayed it because we didn't have any options, any mm-hmm. black, any white, any even any blue. Like it was like gray on gray grout fits.
You just got the generic colors, the black, white, and gray stuff.
Yeah, and then this is before like baggy still wasn't how it is right now. Like baggy's cool again, right? Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years ago, baggy it still wasn't as big, and these were like. We had like 2001 like sweatsuits. Like if you told me like 2001, like, oh, you still wore these, like these are throwbacks and they picked these out from the warehouse. I'm like, these are the back of the equipment room. And I'd be like, okay, it makes sense. But that was brand new and that's what we were wearing. So yeah, the alumni are jealous and that fit was fire. And that's just a glimpse of probably what they're going to be walking into the.
And so you already know what happened, right? I just got done clarifying and clearing the air on this bomber jacket. And now everyone wants to know where you can get the all white suit. And I'm like, y'all, can y'all just let me have some team exclusive stuff for a minute before y'all start wanting
it? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, of course, like we want the fans to be, you know, rocking the stuff. But there does need to be some form of exclusivity of like,
gotta give it a chance.
But yeah, you get something for being like, you know, playing or being on a team. There has to be something that's special that you can't buy. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the things that are that you love to rock because you're like, I played for this. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing you can walk away with that, you know, you were part of, you were actually like, you know, on the team, part of the program, and this is what you earned.
It was a little crazy though that they were wearing all white, and I don't think you were there for the Bruin walk, right? But I don't know, like the grass was, I think they were kind of walking through the dirt a little bit. And so I'm like, that's kind of dangerous. That's
Bruin walk is.
I don't know if that's just that field, or probably because it's being used a lot by different events and stuff that's there throughout the year. So it's hard to just get green grass there, maybe.
It's going to be like, yeah, because of all the things that happen on there, it's like that throughout. Like, it's not, you're not walking on a sidewalk all the way in. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's a sacrifice that you need to make in order to have Bruin walk.
And you at least look cool on the way in. So they return those back, and then the team washes them, and then like you guys.
That one maybe not. I mean, usually the ones during the season that you're supposed that usually.
Well, so you're thinking that's not the season one. Well, because it might be hot, right? Because like,
yeah, I guarantee they're having new ones for the season.
Yeah, probably.
Come on, man. We got Big Ten money now, man. Yeah, we got Jordan Brand Big Ten money now, man.
That might have just been the spring exclusive.
Yeah, we gotta switch it up. We gotta have flavors.
I'll have to find out on that. That's a good point. Who were some of the, I don't know, did we talk about some of the guys that you saw out there? Some of the alumni?
So the guys in I'll just put this in my kind of generation of, you know, playing. You had, of course, me, Chris Barnes, Stephen Flintoff, like I said. Theo Howard was there. Steven Johnson.
Oh, I didn't even see
Theo. Who was there from, like, a lot of NFL? Darnay Holmes was there.
Charbonnet.
Zach Charbonnet was there. Kaz Allen was there. John Gaines was there.
Yeah. Latu Latu.
Latu was there. Shout out to Latu, first rounder.
Mm-hmm. That's course, pretty Shea impressive. That's pretty impressive, though. The man gets drafted, does a press conference in Indy, and then is like back the next day in LA.
Somebody was asking about that. I'm like, yeah, me and Chris were like, yeah, like I'm pretty sure you. The first round guys are like there, right? The first round guys that I know. The first round guys that I've known, they fly there, and then I think they're just there, for a day. Then you fly because you fly like usually straight from the draft.
Right.
They fly you out. You're there for the day, and then you go back because you don't usually sign yet because
no, yeah, you yeah.
So it's like, why would you have to stay there, and then. I mean, of course, you have to get all your stuff, too, because you're going to be there for rookie mini camp and then the rest of OTAs before you are able to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So logistic wise, that wouldn't make any sense. But yeah, having Latu back was dope. Like I said, Shea Pitts was there running the show. That might be his future.
That might be
his thing, he wants to coach, but like he might just be a Bruin MC for the rest of his life.
Did he try to get on the mic? Did you get on the screen?
One of the interviews that he talked to me that he did off camera because they had to do something else. He had a conversation with Zach LaVine, who was a Bruin alumni, who was there supporting Coach Foster, supporting athletics, and supporting men at Westwood. So hopefully Shea gets that out some way, somehow. Who else did I see? I mean, it was like so many
Kaz
guys.
Was there. Martin Andrus was there. He was over on my side. I was on the defensive sideline. Yeah.
Q Lake.
I didn't see Q there.
My boy Q Lake was there.
I didn't see
him. I seen Josh there, Kelly actually. Was there. I didn't get to see him, but I know Josh Kelly was there.
Not surprising. Josh Kelly was there.
Foster's boys were.
All the running back. I'm sure Felton may have been there. I mean, he's usually at everything, Kelly.
I didn't see. The fans came and asked if DTR and Felt were there, and I didn't see them.
I don't think DTR was there. I don't think he was. There was probably a number of dudes there. I know Josiah Norwood was there.
Yeah, Josiah was there.
Bunch of different dudes were out there.
And then, like I said, a lot of Jordan Lasley was there.
Oh, Jordan Lasley. Okay.
A lot of the, I'm saying, respectfully,
Donovan Carter.
Donovan Carter was there. Respectfully, I'm telling you, like, generations. I don't know everybody enough personally, but there was a lot. There was a lot.
Generations
a
were
lot
represented.
A lot of Bruin brothers around. All right. It was a lot. Yeah, definitely generations. I'm all there to support Foss. I mean, if you were there and you saw when they introduced us on the field, like.
Oh, yeah, there was a big group. Yeah, there was a big group of y'all out there.
There was a lot of people.
It looked like you guys had a good time out there. How did the autograph session go? Because we had to go right back in and talk to Deshaun. We did the press conferences like right away so he can kind of go back out there. What was the autograph thing like for you?
It was cool. Because for a while of it, I was kind of sitting on the bench, talking to Hudson Hammermill as he's, you know, going through this process, excited. He's going to have a phenomenal comeback. I'm sure of it. Just talking about the whole process and how all that goes.
Did he have the surgery yet? Cause I saw him at practice and he had like the sleeve on, but I don't think he had surgery yet. Right?
No, he's prepping for it. So he's prepping for it. And like I said, his comeback is going to be phenomenal. I already know. I mean, having Coach Foster and Jerry as his position coach and the head coach, I think it just benefits him because they know him and what he can do. So there's no rush as far as trying to hurry back. He has nothing to prove. Everybody knows what he can do. And I think he's going to excel through this and come back stronger. So I was on the bench when the autograph signing started. So I kind of like, I was just looking for the people that I knew that were there. Mm-hmm. And so like people, me and Chris are kind of sitting on the bench and like, which was kind of in the crowd of the people. Mm-hmm. So people came and showed love. And then I went on the other side of the marker, the rope where players were. And it was dope. Just seeing all the love and the Bruin fans really showing up and showing out. And I think that's one of the biggest things that, like, I know Coach Foster talking about as far as, like, having the fans involved is, like, they're a part of this as much as the players. And, like, we will thrive off of their energy. Like, they can only benefit us. You know what I'm saying? As far as being involved, seeing practice, seeing what we have going on, Bruin Walk. Like, certain things, like, Foster wants to – because I feel like we were, for the past couple of years, it was kind of like marked off and hidden and really like super private and like mysterious in a way. It's like fans didn't even know what was going on. I think that made them question the team and sometimes in negative ways because they wanted understanding what was going on. So I think Coach Foster's transparency and inclusion of the fans is a good thing. And I think it's going to give, you know, great energy as like a family. And then just supporting the boys like through thick and thin, no matter what this Big Ten brings, because you know that these other Big Ten opponents are going to travel well and try to show up in the Rose Bowl and get out of the cold. You know what I'm saying? Come to California as a vacation and turn up. We kind of seen that with LSU. So we're going to need our fans to, you know, show up and support through everything, wins and losses, everything. You know what I'm saying? Just being there and bringing the energy is going to be big. So, again, shout out Coach Foster for just the environment he's fostering in. you feel it, and it's like accepting and it's love. Like I don't know how to describe it. I feel like, well, that's how I'm describing it. But yeah, talking to other alumni, like it's just a feeling of like unity and family.
Yeah, no, like I've kind of, that was something I wrote about today. Make sure you guys go check it out at ocregister.com. I talked about what were some of the big things I learned this spring, right? And just the first spring under Foster. And like one of the biggest things was like just him embracing and engaging the UCLA community. And that by that, I meant having the alumni back, having the fans out at practice, encouraging them to come out to the the Friday Night Lights practice, having hundreds of recruits at the Friday Night Lights practice, right? Just kind of embracing and inviting and welcoming the UCLA community and just the city as a whole. But I think it's all good timing, right? I think everything's aligning up perfectly. Now, we'll see what happens in terms of results on the season as things roll along. But just in terms of the early results that Foster is getting with the things that he's doing, there's been great turnouts at these events that he's had. It lines up perfectly with the Big Ten, and it's kind of rejuvenating the fan base in a way. So everything's lining up to where that support will be there. I think much like you're saying, there's going to be, you know, quite a big turnout from some of these Big Ten schools who are coming in. They want to get out of the cold. They want to get on the West Coast for a game. They'll have that opportunity to do so. And I think when you have that excitement of these other teams coming in and their fan base is coming in, I think that helps rally and will excite some of the fan base here at UCLA. So I think it's all good timing. I think things will line up. Obviously, you want to see some good results on the field, but I think as long as there's that understanding that that will take time, much like it'll take time to grow the fan base and what it is that they want to do with the football program going forward. As long as everyone has that understanding, I think things will head in the right direction. But yeah.
Two things on that. The first one, I think it will be great that the first home game will actually be a Big Ten game with Indiana coming in.
I was thinking
so that way it's not, I mean, cause you know, in the past few years, the attendance has been a thing because it's been three lower tier teams, non-conference that they don't travel. And then it's hot and people think it's an automatic win for UCLA. So they won't show up. Well, now the first home game,
it's competitive because from the jump.
Yeah, because it'd be at Hawaii. So, you know, that's far. And then, first home game is the first Big Ten game. And then the next one will be at LSU. So it's like, if you want to catch, you know, in that first wave, which is usually not as much students don't usually come because you're usually not in school. So those three non-conference games are usually harder for attendance because the students aren't as involved. Having that first home game and the only home game of the first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, you know, being a Big Ten game, I think that will truly help. And the second thing I think would be a major key is if Coach Foster recruits the Greek life students at UCLA for games. I think that would be big because that could, you know, hopefully, you know, gets more involvement with the students. And when Greek life goes into something, like they go all in, you know what I'm saying? Where you can get buses of Greek life kids from the sororities and fraternities to, you know, to it. And I think I've never seen, even with Coach Moore, I don't think I've ever seen one of the head coaches kind of get involved to recruit students, especially like in Greek life, which is a big, you know, it's a big chunk of, you know, active students. Yes. So I don't know if I can get that message to him somehow. Well, I probably can, but I think it would be a good way of getting student involvement, which would boost attendance.
I think so. I mean, and Foster has had no problem going on campus, handing out shirts, letting people know about the spring game, letting them know about the Friday Night Lights practice, telling them to be there. So what do you think would go into, and I'm just asking because I wouldn't know how you would go about it. How do you invite the Greek life, or how do you go? Are you going to their houses?
I would, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would tour fraternity row and maybe even the sorority row too.
Is that all right there where you guys are riding the scooters to get to the facility? Like,
so on Gailey, that's the fraternities, but the sororities are on the other side of campus.
Okay.
Behind academics, like on that completely other side. But I mean, Greek life, I was in Phi Kappa Psi, so being in Greek life, I know there's chapter meetings usually every Monday during the week. So like he took a Monday and just strolled the fraternity row. I think that'd be huge.
Well, I was gonna say, shouldn't the alumni, like you said, you're in a fraternity. Why, you know, don't you still know some people? Maybe you don't know people, but
I do. But I think it's bigger when you have Deshaun Foster show up to the house.
I mean, sure, yeah, of course, of course, of course. But Yeah, I mean, I think he should. I would imagine he's going to. If not, like, he should.
Like I said, I've never, I haven't seen that UCLA before, so I think, you know. Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty big. I mean, talk about going out of your way to really, like, you know, hey, I'm going out of my way to come invite you guys, whatever, like, you know, just with the expectation that ideally you guys would return the favor and come out to the Rose Bowl. I think that'd be huge. I think that'd be huge for the population there at the Rose Bowl. They did have 11,000 there at the, for the spring showcase. So pretty good showing for what it was. I know Deshaun was pretty happy with the turnout overall. Just want to switch gears here a little bit as we kind of wrap things up. I want to knock out a few things real quick. We mentioned the coaches going out on the road. Talk about recruiting, right? Talking about recruiting the fraternities and whatnot. The coaches are out recruiting to help bring in and kind of bolster this 2025 class and beyond, hitting the road, going to the high schools and whatnot. So just going to kind of run down the list because I think it's pretty cool that, you know, Foster had said that the coaches were going to go on the road, but they put out, each coach tweeted out a different graphic of where they're going to be spending their time as they're recruiting here, at least. I mean, I would imagine throughout the weekend or throughout the next week or so, just a ballpark idea. So it looks like Akaika Maloy is going to be out on the Pacific Northwest and visiting the state of Washington. Eric Bieniemy is going to be staying local and is going to be checking out the LA area. I know he was out at Long Beach Jordan, for example, earlier today. So he's off and running there. Tony Washington is going to be out in the Inland Empire. Jerry Neuheisel is going to be out in the state of Arizona. Coach Ted White, the quarterback's coach, he's going to be out in San Diego. Eric Frazier is going to be out in the state of Utah. And then I saw Cody Whitfield was out, I think it might have just said Temecula, but I know he was in Temecula at one of the high schools as well. So, you know, the coaches are going, they're getting active. I know Deshaun Foster said they're going to make an effort, you know, because they're kind of a week behind a lot of the other schools that have kind of already been out and about just because of the way the scheduling works out for them. And, you know, I guess the quarter system or whatever it's called. But yeah, so just wanted to kind of mention that and just shout out to UCLA for even putting those locations out there and for doing that. I thought that was pretty cool. But again, as we wrap things up, I just kind of wanted to also list the different guys that did get drafted, signed, or were invited to rookie mini camps for NFL teams. Just kind of run off the list. And then if there's anyone that stands out to you after, Josh, feel free to mention anything that comes to mind. But just going to rattle off some names here. The first one, so obviously we had Liatu Latu get drafted there in the first round to the Indianapolis Colts. I did talk to some of the Believe in Colts guys over there for that podcast. Make sure you guys check that out in our last episode on the Believe in UCLA feed and kind of got their reaction, their thoughts on Liatu Latu and how excited they are to have him kind of coming over to Indianapolis. And then things got a little surprising, Josh. The next guy drafted. So we were at the spring showcase when day three was happening. So I was refreshing Twitter the whole time, wondering what's going on, because I thought for sure Gabriel Murphy was going to get drafted on day two. Didn't happen that way. But the next guy drafted after Latu doesn't happen till day three, when you get Darius Mwasa, the linebacker who gets drafted to the New York Giants in the sixth round with the 183rd pick. And then that was it. The rest were just undrafted guys. I was kind of surprised to see the Murphy twins were not drafted. Haven't really talked to anybody or really made the effort to talk to any of the draft analysts or anybody to see maybe what the thoughts are there, because maybe I feel like it's even beyond them a little bit. Maybe it's just kind of what the team saw, or maybe, you know, I don't know. I haven't heard that they necessarily had a bad pro day or a bad performance at the Shrine Bowl. So I'm not sure what all went into that. But for a previous guest, Alex Johnson, did sign with the New York Giants. So he's going to be joining Darius Mwasa out there as well. Carl Jones, who was also on the podcast, signed with the Chicago Bears. Gabriel Murphy did sign with the Minnesota Vikings. Grayson Murphy did sign with the Miami Dolphins. Jake Heimlicher, if I have that, I may be messing up the last name there. I believe he also got invited to New York Giants camp, or that might have been the Lions. I don't have that one in front of me, but I know he did get invited to a camp. Carson Steele signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. If he sticks with the Chiefs, Carson Steele might look like he's getting a Super Bowl ring. So we'll see how that plays out. Colson Yankoff signed with the Commanders. And then you had Duke Clemens signed with the Detroit Lions. So a lot of familiar names there. Anyone else, anyone stand out to you there, or anyone that you're excited about to kind of see at the next level?
I mean, I was surprised, yeah, that nobody, that the Twins didn't get drafted, as well as Carson Steele. Mm-hmm. But so happy for, I mean, for all those guys, like a guy, like I said, with Alex, just like his journey and him, you know, having this opportunity. I think he's going to kill it. I mean, he's a guy, like I said, that can do multiple things and just smart, like a good person, good kid. yeah, the Twins, it's weird, you know, having them go to the different teams. Like, I wonder how that's going to be when they're not together. Like, how's that going to work for the dynamic? And, I imagine this is probably their first time not playing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Or being apart for any significant amount of time. Like, probably the first time being in different states. Well, I mean, other than the NFL Combine, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's probably strange. I wonder how that's going to be. My boy Yankoff, like, it's a guy that I think, you know, could be an impact immediately if he gets on special teams. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a guy that can do literally anything. Kind of same thing, like Taysom Hill type vibes as far as on offense. You're going to put him at receiver, tight end, running back. And then I guarantee, you know, he can – well, I have seen him do all four special teams. I think he'll excel in that. Kenny Churchill getting a shot with the Eagles.
Yep.
I will, you know, I hope he just goes out and kills it and just dominates and just, you know – brings his personality over there. I mean, yeah, when they're padded. If it's not padded, stay out. Please, Penny, please do not go to the ground. That's the most important part for him, is staying up, not hitting nobody when it's not time. Duke Clemens.
Mm-hmm. With the Lions.
You know, with the Lions. That's one of the you know, he was such an important part for the offensive line these past few years. So just seeing, you know, him being consistent and working hard, you know, he's so smart. So I hope, you know, he handles his business over there and just, I mean, everybody, I'm just excited for all the guys and their teams and, you know, wish them all the best and that they stick around on those teams and are just impacts next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I will be writing an article actually right after I finish with this episode. I'm going to try and make sense of all the transfer portal movement for UCLA, who's coming in, who's coming out. I know they got two offensive line prospects that will help bolster the offensive line for this upcoming season. So a lot to break down there. So make sure you guys go to ocregister.com for that. Josh, anything else before we head on out of here?
I mean, now we are in kind of this quiet part, which is usually, you know, tougher. So, I mean, yeah, now I guess we're talking portal. Hopefully, you know, soon we'll probably do a roster breakdown. But, I mean, anybody has questions, this is the time to send your questions in. We will answer as many as we can. I mean, we appreciate it very much.
Yes, make sure you guys send in your questions. Also, make sure you leave a 5-star review on your favorite audio platform. And you can also leave your questions there as well, and we'll try and get to those and maybe prioritize some of those first. So make sure you guys do that. Appreciate all that you guys do, all you guys that listen, and you guys reach out to us on Twitter and let us know. That's very much appreciated. I can't thank you guys enough for that. But for Josh and myself, thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you, everybody.
This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.